Thank you, guys. All right. Boy, thank you guys for that time of worshiping through song. Marvelous. Marvelous. Thanks for the violin, too, this morning. First thing, when you were coming in, did you hear that Dick was playing the violin? I did, and it was awesome. Thank you. Yeah, I've even got a little joke about that, but I'm not going to spare you. So, speaking of jokes, wonderful. We are super blessed. Justin and Nikki Kosick are back visiting with us this weekend for a couple days. If you don't know Justin and Nikki, they're wonderful people. He used to be the head coach of football at VCC, and he moved to Kansas. They moved away, and so they're back here visiting this weekend. Got to have supper with them and some other folks last night. And so for you, Nikki, I want to let you know that I am perfectly prepared to precisely preach prolifically. How's that? They bet me that I couldn't add the word prolifically into today's sermon, and so I don't know. I guess I'm up here and the camera's on, so does that mean my sermon is like begun or whatever? Anyway, you can hear her back there laughing. I thought of that this morning. I'm like, okay, here we go. Boy, thank you. She's still laughing. Thank you for being here. Thanks for this time of worship. It is so cool to hear just the body of Christ coming together from all over the country and praising and worshiping Jesus like this. Awesome. Very, very cool. Again, thank you. All right, here we go. Begin with, don't answer this one. Don't answer this question out loud, okay? Just think about this one. Have you ever told a lie? Yeah, somebody's saying no. You're telling lies right now. I said, don't answer this one, okay? Seriously, think about this one. Have you ever told a lie? Have you ever gotten caught up then in this lie that you might have told, and then you get deeper into the lie and deeper and deeper, and sometimes you have to lie again and again because of the first lie that you told, and now you're suddenly stressed and worried, and when is someone going to find out? And then finally, after all that stress and despair, the truth actually comes out. And even though it might be painful for a couple of moments, in actuality, there's relief. Because it's finally been exposed, the truth has been told, and now you're overjoyed that the truth is finally out and you feel like you've truly been set free by the truth. The truth has set you free. Well, those of you that have been around for a while or watching online, you know that we are engaged in a sermon series based on the truth, centered around Easter, and we've called it, You Can Handle the Truth. Remember that brilliant movie, A Few Good Men, where the lawyer and, you know, Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson are arguing in the courtroom, and Tom Cruise hollers, I want the truth, and Nicholson responds, you can't handle the truth. And I am thoroughly convinced that if you are a born-again follower of Jesus, we know the truth. We have the truth. And there are people out there that need to hear the truth. I think the enemy convinces us that they can't handle the truth. And I know for a fact and believe with all my heart that they can handle the truth, and they deserve the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So that's what we've been engaged in. We've looked at lots of questions, from why did Jesus have to die, to what happened on the cross, to why is the resurrection such a big deal. We've looked at how it is that we handle the truth. What do we do with this personally? Make a response to Jesus as Lord and Savior. We've looked at what that brings into our lives. We're called to live worthy of Jesus and all that He has done. That leads us to witness for Him, to work for Him. And today is all about worship, worshiping Him. And so today's question is, does the truth produce anything in us? Does the truth produce? Well, Jesus said in John 8:32, a wonderful line. He says, you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. He also told the woman at the well, again in the book of John, chapter 4, verse 23, he says that there's a day coming, and indeed that day has arrived, when true worshipers will worship God the Father in spirit and in truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. You see, the truth really does set us free. The truth sets us free and produces inside us true worship, genuine worship, because of who our God is and because of the truth impacting us and changing us and our lives. We're really going to look at Psalm 138 this morning, but first we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, and we're going to be in the first two verses. I don't need to say a lot about Romans. We've heard a lot about it. We know a lot about it. Looks like it's already up there on the screen. Romans 12, 1 and 2. By the way, if you are new here or joining us for the summer, we use the Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. I refer to it as Kurt's Special Bible. I really like that translation. It's not only accurate, but it's also a little easier to understand. So it's a great combination of both. And we highly recommend the YouVersion Bible app. It's free. You can get it on any, you know, device or whatever. And if you get that free YouVersion app, you can pick any translation you want. Again, we use the CSB here. So that's what we have on the screen. If you have your own copy, I'm really proud of you, and thank you for bringing your Bible, and we're going to read this together. Apostle Paul wrote the letter to the book to the Romans, divided church, Jews, Gentiles. They needed a lot of theology and doctrine, and that's what this book is all about. First 11 chapters set the stage of the gospel, and here we pick up in chapter 12, verse 1, and God's word says, "Therefore, brothers and sisters, in view of the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God." Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for this day to gather and worship you and study in your word and sing your praises. God, you are good. You have always been such a good Father. And Lord, I pray that you take this message and your word and you speak it through me this morning boldly and clearly. Lord, I ask you to truly prepare each of us to hear your word, open our hearts and minds, to better understand your word and what it is that we can do for you because of what you've done for us. Lord, we love you and we thank you. We pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked a few weeks ago about the gospel. What is the gospel? And you guys together, we explain to each other what the gospel is. It's key. It's core and it's essential to everything that we believe, all that we are. If we are new creations in Christ, it's because of the gospel. So the gospel is vital. I love one of our life groups has been studying a thing called the American gospel. And they've looked at how some churches throughout America, really throughout the world, have twisted the good news and made it all about people, and they're looking at just the reality and the importance of understanding the true gospel. And so here it is, in case you haven't heard it before, but the good news isn't really good unless you understand the bad news. And the bad news is that the Bible teaches that there was a fall of mankind, that Adam and Eve chose their own way and pride rather than God's perfection, and they sinned, and sin entered the world, and death, and darkness, and they were cast out of God's presence, out of the Garden of Eden, and wandered throughout the country and work and pain and all these bad things. And the Bible says that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the penalty for our sin is death. It's really bad news. From Adam and Eve on, every full human person has committed sin, and we deserve death. We've been separated from God. As far as the east is from the west, separated from a good and loving God. Insert God's goodness. At the right moment in history, God, the Son, left the glory of heaven and he came to earth born of a virgin. Jesus the Christ lived a perfect, sinless life. He fulfilled and completed and accomplished all of the law for us. And then he willingly went to the cross. And there on the cross, Jesus, as the Lamb of God, paid the penalty for our sin once and for all. Remember, sin's consequences are death. Jesus died for us. That if by faith we receive this gift of salvation, God's grace into our lives, we will be saved and born again. See, Jesus not only died on the cross, but they buried him temporarily, and then he came back to life and defeated sin and death and hell forever. And now in him, we can know the truth, and the truth truly will set us free, and we can become brand new creations in God's eyes and in our own lives. That's really, really good news. God didn't just talk about his love. He proved how much he loves us by giving us Jesus. It's remarkable. Greatest thing that's ever happened in all of creation, the gospel. A true understanding of the truth changes everything. It changes everything. See, here's the thing. You and I, we cannot rightly handle the truth and remain the same. The truth produces a change inside us. The truth makes us new. It truly sets us free. Remember my quote, I don't know, last week or 2 weeks ago, salvation is free, but it costs you everything. Salvation is free, we can't buy it, but it costs us everything. Back to verse 1. Therefore, because of the gospel, therefore, because of the truth, brothers and sisters, born again believers, in view of the mercy of God, so in view of the truth of God, in view of the greatness and the grandeur of Jesus, in view of all of that, Paul says, I urge you. Other translations say, I plead with you, or I implore you, to present your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, because this is your true worship. The truth should inspire us to give ourselves, our bodies, wholly and completely over to the Lord as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God, because that is genuine worship. That's true worship. What is worship? Worship is simply giving worth to God. In our case, right now, we're worshiping God. Everyone worships something, or sometimes many things. We're talking about worshiping God, giving worth and value. And Paul says so clearly, we couldn't look at other verses on worship without looking at this and the importance of it because of what God has done. Paul says, I'm telling you, give yourselves wholly over as a living sacrifice, because that's true worship. It's far more than church attendance on Sunday morning. It's about a lifestyle of giving worth to God all day, every day, no matter where you're at, and no matter what you're doing. And of course, we do it in many, many ways. Time, talent, and tithe is a good way to remember. Giving our time and service, our talents and service and helping others, and our tithe, giving free will offerings back to God from which we've so richly received and been blessed. The bottom line is the gospel should create in us a desire to live worthy and worship God, being holy and pleasing and acceptable as a sacrifice to our God. Okay, let's second verse. He says, do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Let that sink in for a moment. Don't be conformed to the world right now. Don't be like the world right now. Man, I've heard it this last week. God is so good. And if I have a difficult day or a difficult time, it's like God just responds with someone getting a hold of me with such encouragement and good news and answered prayers and unbelievable blessings. And I've just heard over and over people, you guys, getting discouraged or done with the negativity all around us in the media and the news, and just really focusing on the gospel and the goodness of our God, and it changes everything. And here Paul gives us a hard step on the toes and says, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the truth. Be changed by the truth and the renewing of your mind. And it goes on, so that you may discern what is the good, pleasing, and perfect will of God. Have you ever had a hard time hearing from God? Hearing His voice? I've had people, it's one of the most common questions. How do you know when God's speaking to you? Well, it's a little different all the time. It's not necessarily easy. A lot of times it's hindsight. I see how God was speaking. Maybe at the time I didn't know. But here Paul's reminding us, if we want a clearer connection with our God, allow the gospel, the truth, to renew your mind. Don't be like the world, but be transformed. Be changed, be a living sacrifice. I guarantee you will hear God a lot clearer. My note says, then you'll know and experience the Lord truly. And I like that, truly, in truth and in spirit, worshiping Him. You see, the truth transforms and changes us, making us new from the inside out. And here's the thing about this whole transformation that the gospel creates, that Jesus does in us, you know, that everything is new and the old is gone. That whole idea, it starts with our heart. We teach kids in Vacation Bible School, you know, do you want to ask Jesus into your heart? I kind of cringe at that one. It's not quite scriptural. I get the point, because He comes and definitely lives inside us. And the first thing He does is cleans our heart. He changes our heart. That's the key, is He changes our hearts. When He changes us, it's our heart that gets changed first. God changes our hearts. Then Jesus teaches, if you take notes, Matthew 12:34, He's talking to the Pharisees, man, he's whooping them up pretty good. And he says that out of the mouth comes the overflow of the heart. Man, that's a tough one. Because if the first thing God does is change our hearts when we're saved, and then out of our mouths comes what's really truly in our hearts, then words speak a lot about a person. Words speak a ton, because the mouth is like a lamp into a person's heart. Proof of the truth is what we talk about and how we talk about it, how we choose to speak. James, remember James last week? I said, boy, he is just to the point. He calls a spade, and James says, how can you possibly curse with your mouth, people, and then also praise God with the same mouth? It cannot be so. Out of our mouth comes the overflow of our heart, and with that same mouth, we attempt to be critical and negative and curse people, but also try to then praise and worship on Sundays. That ought not to be. The truth produces a changed heart. It produces a change inside us. The truth produces, I love this, the truth produces a life of joy and love and peace. All the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, faithfulness, goodness, and self-control. The truth produces those things in us. Here's the thing, a truth produces a life of worship, a life of giving worth to God. Truth produces a full life of worship, and that means giving God as a living sacrifice, giving God His value all the time. At work, at the store, when someone cuts you off and takes your itty-bitty parking spot at Zupp's parking lot, and you want to just bump into them and, oops, I'm sorry, I was pulling in that spot. Anyway, no matter what you're doing, the truth produces a life of worship with joy. Remember, joy is not dependent upon circumstances. That's happiness. Happiness comes and goes. Joy never ends because of how good our God is. Produces a life of worship. Let's continue to Psalm 138. This psalm is a psalm of David. It's one of his final psalms, and it's a psalm of praise and thanksgiving and worship and clarity about who God is, who God has been in David's life. This psalm is, I read it, I don't know, several weeks ago, again, and I wrote down a note, boy, for the time when we look at worship, this is a good one to look at for worship. If anyone knew the power of God and the deliverance, the protection of God and the mercies and forgiveness of God, King David did. King David knew and experienced God and lived a life of worship to God and praised God even in the difficult times because of his past deliverance, and full of faith for his future deliverances from his enemies. Psalm 138, I'll read the whole thing. David says, I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing your praise because before the heavenly beings. I will bow down toward your holy temple and give thanks to your name for your constant love and truth. You have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. On the day I called, you answered me. You increased strength within me. All the kings on the earth will give you thanks, Lord, when they hear what you have promised. They will sing of the Lord's ways, for the Lord's glory is great. Though the Lord is exalted, he takes note of the humble, but he knows the haughty from a distance. If I walk into the thick of danger, you will preserve my life from the anger of my enemies. You will extend your hand. Your right hand will save me. The Lord will fulfill his purpose for me. Lord, your faithful love endures forever. Do not abandon the work of your hands. Beautiful psalm of thanksgiving and praise, worshiping God for what he's done and what he will do in the future. The first two verses, he says, I will give you thanks. How? With all my heart. I will praise and worship you, God, with all of my heart. Remember, the first thing God does when he saves us is he changes our hearts. I'll give you thanks and praise and worship you with all my heart. And he says, I will sing your praises before everyone, before the angels, the heavenly beings, and everyone. God, I will thank you and sing your praises. Before everyone, I will bow down toward your holy temple. The temple wasn't even built. It was still a tabernacle at this point. But he's saying, your very presence, God, I will bow down to you wherever you are. To your holy temple, your tabernacle, it doesn't matter. I will thank you and sing praises and bow and worship and give thanks to your name for your constant love and truth. That was thousands and thousands of years before Jesus. Look at the evidence of his love and truth that we have to our advantage today. And he says, you have exalted your name and your promise above everything else. What a great example of someone that loved God with all of his heart. It's easy to praise and worship with all of his heart, to sing praises with a mouth, that is full of praise and a heart that's full of love and joy. He's saying, I'm going to exalt you, God, all the time and bow and worship because how good you are, God. You are that good and that great. Verse 3, 4 and 5, he says, on the day that I called, you answered me. Other translations say, on the day that I prayed to you, God, you answered me. On the day I shouted out, anyone that calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. He says, on the day that I called out to you, you answered me. And you heard my cry. You heard my plea and you increased strength within me. I love verse 4. All the kings on earth will give you thanks, Lord, when they hear what you have promised. And they will sing, they too, these kings, small k kings, little kings, all these kings will also sing of your ways because your glory, O God, is great. In Philippians, we're reminded that Jesus was given the name above every name because of his humility, even to the point of death. Jesus was submissive to the Father, and now he's been granted and glorified the name above every name. And one day, every knee will bow, and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord. David's speaking of that. Every king is going to exalt you and sing your praises as well, whether they want to or not, but your glory, O God, is great, and you are deserving of all that we have. You're deserving of lives of worship. Isn't that cool? Isn't that just so neat? I love how passionate God is about his glory. Isabel asked the other day, and they ask a lot of questions. A lot of questions. But they ask really good questions. And Isabel said, was it why did God create humans? I think that was it. Again, they ask a lot of questions. Why did God create humans? And sometimes it's fun to not answer right away and just listen, because inevitably Isabel and Caleb will start to talk and then you'll hear what they think. And a lot of times they're actually right or really, really close to right or whatever. And then sometimes mom or I, you know, Teresa and I can help them a little bit rather than just give them the answer that they already knew. But bottom line, why did God create humans? It's for his glory. You and I are the crowning jewel of God's creation. And God is passionate about his glory. That the angels, a third of the angels were in charge of worship of God. He is passionate about his glory. And see, he knows us. He knows where we're at. He knows our hearts. He can see our hearts, whether he's living there or yet to come and live inside you. He knows and sees our hearts. And then we read a verse like verse 6. And that's a little brutal to realize and be reminded of who God is. He says in verse 6, even though the Lord is exalted, clearly he is exalted by the heavenly beings now and for all of eternity with us, though the Lord is exalted, he takes note of the humble. Humble praise and worship is a sweet sacrifice to our God. But then he knows the haughty from a distance. God can see our hearts. He has a window directly into our hearts. We can also hear people's hearts by what they speak of and how they speak, but God can see our hearts, and he loves the worship of someone that's humble, and he loathes the pride and arrogance of someone that's haughty. And he can spot you and your false worship from a million miles away. Don't curse people and try to praise God with the same mouth. James says it ought not to be that way. So what do we do about that? I mean, that again, verse 6, that's a tough one. That's a hard reality. What do we do about that? Well, here's a challenge. Dick offered a challenge. I accept, by the way, Psalm 22 and 23 with no... By the way, read Read the book of Romans. Don't ever stop. Just read the entire thing. No chapter, verse. It'll change everything. It's amazing. I'm thankful because we can turn to the verses easy, but anyway, all right. I accept the challenge. Here's my challenge to you. Ask someone that you care about. Ask a loved one to tell you the truth. Like, give them permission to actually give you and tell you the truth, and don't crucify them for telling you the truth then. But ask someone that you love, or two people, two different. Get this, do I speak more praise or problems? Ask someone that you love, do I speak more praise or problems? Does my mouth speak a heart filled with love and grace and mercy and forgiveness? I'll repeat. Some of you are writing these down. That's good. Do I speak more praise or problems? Does my mouth speak of a heart filled with love, grace, mercy, forgiveness? You can insert whatever, joy, you know, peace, patience. Does my mouth speak of a heart like God? Next question, is my life a living sacrifice? Remember, if they were hanging Christians, would there be enough evidence to come and arrest us? Is my life a living sacrifice? I guess I was on a roll writing questions. Am I a true worshiper or am I a liar? Tough questions. But ask someone that you love to answer those truthfully and then let it change our hearts even more to be like Jesus. The truth is like, oh, I speak plenty of problems. I speak plenty of difficulties. I'm not always a living sacrifice. I'm not always these things. But the bottom line, am I becoming more that way? Is tomorrow going to be more full of praise than yesterday? Are there fewer problems coming from my heart and my mouth tomorrow than there was a month ago? Is my worship truer today than it was a year ago? Am I on the journey toward becoming more like Jesus? Verse 7 and 8. I love this as David describes just his life of being protected and cared for by our God. He says, if I walk into the thick of danger, oh God, you will preserve my life. You've preserved me so many times and delivered me from my enemies. You will preserve my life from the anger of my enemies, and you will extend your hand. Your right hand will save me. The Lord God, you will fulfill your purpose for me. Lord, your faithful love endures forever. And he says, do not abandon the work of your hand. He's saying, I know you will not ever abandon me because I am yours and I am your creation. Isn't that beautiful? The God that we are here today to glorify and worship is the same God that saved and protected King David back then, and God has not changed at all, and he never will change. And it's our privilege and our right and even our responsibility to worship him with all that we have because of his love and his truth. You see, God is God. He is still God, and he is good all the time, and God is powerful, and he will deliver you from the hand of your enemies and your struggles. He knows you, and he knows your plight, and he knows your heart, and when your heart is for him, he wants to live in you and work in you and lead you to be a living sacrifice, to praise him with your heart and with your mouth. No matter where you're at and who you're talking with, God is God and he is good and powerful and he is full of grace. And Jesus offers salvation for sinners deserving of death. He offers deliverance from our past, deliverance from our flesh, deliverance from the old ways. Jesus offers new. Jesus is truth, and he truly changes us. The truth truly changes us. He is God, and he deserves all that we have and all that we are, all praise and all honor, all our worship. And here's the cool thing. We're going to get to do that together for all of eternity anyway. So I believe that our lives should be marked by worship and full of worship now here on earth as well. Eternity is guaranteed. Right now it's our choice. And I say, because of Jesus and his grace and his mercy and his truth, let's worship him with all that we have. Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, how can we possibly give you what you're deserving of, which is truly everything? It's truly all that we have. Lord, forgive us for our selfishness and our pride and our lack of worship. Forgive us for sometimes being guilty of taking you for granted. Lord, you are truly good and deserving of everything, and I pray now in the name of Jesus that you instill in us and inspire in us a deeper level, a richer level of worship because of how good you are. Father, help us down this journey. Help us to reach and impact our community, our country, and the world because of how good you are, because of your glory, and you may you be glorified through it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.